Hey guys, Hope here, and welcome back to a brand new episode of She Is Hope Vista. And once again, I am congested. Some of you will probably know this. I had sinus surgery during the pandemic in, I think it was October 2020, and I had a deviated septum. I had a broken septum, actually, and they repaired a lot of things with my sinuses to try and prevent sinus infections. And I will say, since I had that done, I had one sinus infection immediately following my surgery, and that's common, and then I've had one since. I used to have one every, like, month. So it did help a lot. It doesn't get stuck in my face anymore, and I'm able to, like, blow my nose productively, if that makes sense. But my God, allergies are so bad right now, and I'm so congested. But I'm excited, because I'm always excited to talk about music. But today, we are talking about a song that will always have a tremendously close space in my heart, and that is Dominance. Dominance is a song that introduced my music to a lot of people, and Dominance led to Vista, and it was, in my opinion, the song that really just changed the course of my life. And I know that sounds really dramatic, but I'm really excited to talk about why and talk about the writing process, because I don't know, this song is just, it's always going to sit so special. It was the first music video I ever did. We're going to talk about that, and there's so much to say. So let's just dive right into it and tell you guys about Dominance. So the last episode I did was about Wild Girl, which was the single that came right before Dominance, and that ended up not being on the Prevail EP. It was just a standalone single, but Dominance was released in September of 2015, and it was the first single off of my EP, Prevail. It was the first time that I really felt like recorded music captured me as a whole at that time. And I still feel like I connect with it in a really specific way. I still feel like sonically it's me. And I don't really feel that way about a lot of the works that I've been involved in. But Dominance was a song that I wrote by myself, which was different than Wild Girl. That was a co-write. And this was like a totally different process from Wild Girl. And what's funny about that is that Wild Girl and Dominance were recorded in the same session down in Atlanta with ZK, Zach and Ken. I talked about them a lot in the last episode, but the process, I did the, you know, did those both in the same session over like a 2 or 3 day span. This was a different process than a song that I did in the same session. And that's why it's so interesting to me, because so the way it worked was I wrote Dominance in my senior year of college apartment. I went to Rowan University down in South Jersey in Glassboro. And I'm never going to say go profs, because what the hell is a prof? If you know, you know. But I wrote Dominance by myself in my senior apartment, just me and my guitar. It was very, very simple. It was very basic. And I had started writing it months before I finished it. It was just a very, very simple chord structure. But this is so embarrassing to admit. I had seen the 50 Shades of Grey movie trailer, and I liked the Christian character. I thought he was complex. I thought he was weird. I hadn't read the books yet, and the books are terrible, by the way, and the movie was also terrible, but like I was really intrigued by the trailer because I thought it was dark and weird. Hold on 1 second, my dog is barking. Okay, hopefully he's done. Yeah, I was just like inspired by the complexity of that character. It didn't really make a lot of sense to me, and I thought there were things about him that needed to be fleshed out, so I decided to write something that was inspired by that. And yes, I know it's like, it's very corny, but I think that's what's really cool about being a songwriter, is that very, very small, seemingly minuscule things can inspire lyrics and also inspire production. So yes, the lyrical content is sexual, but no, it's not at the same time. It can really go in both directions, because the core of the song is about empowerment in your choices and empowerment with your body as a woman. And I think really anybody can listen to this song and kind of get that sense of empowerment, but it was really written about empowerment with your choices as, you know, someone who maybe didn't have a lot of confidence before, but finding that power inside of yourself. I think it really mirrored how I was feeling about myself at the time. I was someone who was not fresh out of a relationship, but I was like a couple months out of a relationship and really didn't feel like I was desirable. I didn't really feel like I was going to meet anybody that, you know, fit me as well as my previous relationship. Like, I was in a really weird spot, I guess, romantically at that time. I was going on dates. None of them were working out. I just did not feel like I was comfortable in myself. I really have never been, but specifically during this time, that was related to my, like, romantic life. So the core of the song, I think, really was rooted in that and inspired by X character. It was very, very dark pop rock in my head. Kind of a sound I really hadn't heard before. Sorry if you hear me like making noises in my throat. I just ate so much food. I'll see if I can edit those out. But I knew the guitars needed to be deep, like almost evanescency. in the Fallen era, which is their best record and one of my favorites of all time, it needed to be pulsing. I will say, I do remember very clearly being worried when I was doing this with ZK about sounding like them, them being Evanescence. I was worried about, like, the guitars in the, after the first chorus into the second verse, I was worried about those guitars, like, you know, sounding like Evanescence when I was inspired by them, but I wanted to make sure that I was crafting a sound that was mine and not just, like, pulling from different, like, influences. And that was really brutally important to me from the get-go. So going back to the recording process, I went to ZK, obviously with Wild Girl, I had a demo that was all done. They just had to reamp it, redo my vocals, do all the harmonies, and that was that. But this was totally different because what I did for them was play the song for them with just a guitar and my voice. I didn't have any demo. I didn't have any like pre-production. I didn't have anything other than the song written on a piece of paper and my guitar. And I said, this is the song I want to record. I guess I'll just like play it for you, I guess. And I'm not really a good guitarist at all. I can play to write, but I can't play to play, if that makes sense. So I was very, very scared sitting with a guitar and like knowing that I'm not a good guitarist and playing them the song because I was really hoping that they were going to see the vision that I had and get it and feel the type of energy that I was craving to put out there as an artist. So yeah, I just sat there in the studio, played with my guitar and voice. And what was really great about that experience was it got me over the hump of being embarrassed about that kind of thing. But they heard it and immediately recognized the potential with it. And they also heard the same production that I was hearing. And that connection, that sonic connection with them was like very intuitive and very understanding. And I felt really seen. I was way more comfortable once I played it, got that out of the way. And then they started to dig into the production of it, way more comfortable. So what we did was, because I had nothing, we recorded like a scratch vocal to me and the acoustic guitar, I'm pretty sure. And then they built the production around that scratch vocal. So a scratch vocal is basically like when you just record a vocal, you're not trying to make it perfect. Obviously, you want to be in tune and sing the right notes, but like you're not trying to perform it. Like you're just laying down the vocals so you can build off of that. And then you delete it once the track is made and you actually record the vocals. So that's what we did. And I don't know, just it was such a different process than Wild Girl. And to have that happen in like the same multi-day recording block, it gave so much perspective on how the recording process can work and how it can be so different every time. I shed a lot of layers once that scratch vocal was down and once I had like sat with the guitar and played with them. I was very afraid to record vocals for them. I was very afraid because they were recording people who were, you know, releasing platinum records and artists that I loved growing up. And I was like, all right, well, I'm not, you know, can't compare to them. Like, I remember seeing that Against the Current had been in not long before me to do a record called Infinity. And this was like not long before Gravity. And I was like, I can't sing like her, like Chrissy. I can't sing like that. Like, how am I gonna do this, you know, without feeling embarrassed and really like pull off a strong vocal? How can I do that when I'm just so scared? But they brought me out of my shell, and playing that song, guitar and voice for them, really helped with that. It really made the process like all the more comfortable. And I did that day one, I think. I think the very first day they asked, well, what do you want to do? And I was like, well, I have this, and then I have this. And, you know, show them the demo and then show them the, you know, the acoustic version of, you know, what I had written. So this song opened up everything. It opened up everything. And I will say that like doing the, or working on like the production, like I didn't produce the song, but like sitting in on them producing, I just sat at the board with them and watched them work and gave my opinions and gave them my ideas. And they took that and ran with it and really expanded on it and built this track that was so dark. And I really like could not put a genre on it. I said, you know, there's elements of pop, there's elements of alternative, there's elements of so many different types of music here. And that was what I felt really connected to, because I was like, this is my sound. This is not anybody else's. This is really specifically my sound. And that's what I wanted the most. So they got it. They really understood it, Zach and Ken. And I'll always be just so appreciative of that process. The music video also helped a lot. That process was something I'd really never done before. I'd never done a music video. I did the video with a director named Chris Newhard. And he had actually just like a couple weeks before done a lyric video for Sia. It was, I'm pretty sure it was the Chandelier lyric video that he had done. So I found him because he had worked with an Honest Year, who was also being managed by my manager at the time, Bernie. They did, I don't remember what song, was it Everything Man that the video was for? I don't remember what song they did a video with him for, but they were also good friends with him. And You know, so Bernie knew him that way, introduced me to him and said, hey, I think this would be a natural fit. So I talked to him and he wrote the treatment just based on our conversation. You know, I really didn't know how to write a music video treatment or even really what I wanted. I knew that I wanted a nice performance scene. I wanted to showcase, you know, what the word dominance meant as a woman. I wanted to utilize specific colors, but I really just kind of handed it to him and I said, I trust you, like whatever your vision is. I really would like to hear it, what you see when you listen to the song. I want to hear it. And he wrote the treatment for this, this performance scene in a smoky warehouse. And then the box, the big glass box. That thing he built with his friend. The director, Chris Newhard, built that box with his friend. It's a glass box. It was probably, I'm 5'5", I don't know, like 8 feet tall. Maybe I had a good couple feet above my head. And it was just a big glass box. There was a door in the back to get me in. And there were holes in the top so I could breathe. And we did utilize those holes in the video to pour paint into them, which was interesting. But it was really just the concept of like, okay, well, I'm in the box. And, you know, this guy is like, this vampire-y guy is taunting me. And, you know, he's caged me and he has the dominance over me. And at the end, by the end of the song, I have gotten myself out of the box and put him in it and kept him there and walked away, you know, putting my hand on the box and walking away. And there I have dominance at the end of the video. I loved that. It was so cool. And it really like kind of encapsulated my journey as an artist up to that point. I think overall, the video fit 100% what I was trying to capture in the recording. They really went hand in hand. And also, like, the hardest thing about that video was trying to find a freaking male actor. Like, I didn't want to touch anybody. I'll be very honest. I did not want to touch anybody because I was so anxious. I was, like, dating Okan at that time. And I said, I just don't want to touch anybody. Like, I was at a point in my life where I really didn't like being close to people. I didn't want to touch anybody. That's the best way I can explain it. I was really scared. I was also just petrified. Like, I was just petrified of, you know, looking embarrassing or not looking strong enough or not looking like an artist. There were so many anxieties resting in the front of my brain doing that video. And one thing also too that I was really nervous about with that music video in particular was my weight. I was very, very small at that time. I was very skinny because my dad had recently passed, didn't really eat in the months following. I was like probably at my skinniest other than when I was in high school. And yet I was still petrified of how my weight was going to be captured on camera. And I remember having a conversation with the director before we did the filming. I said, look, I just want you to be aware of this. I said, I'm really body conscious. I have body dysmorphia. I've been in recovery for an eating disorder for a couple years. You know, I'm definitely very skinny. I've been dealing with a loss, but you know, I just want you to be aware that if I come across as, you know, timid, it's not because I am timid. It's because I'm afraid of how my body is looking on film. And him knowing that and me telling him that in advance, it set a really nice, I don't want to say like an intimate tone, but it set a really, a great tone to have open conversation about the work that we were doing. That made the process a lot more comfortable. But in terms of finding a male actor, my God, I got a list from the director. It was like 10 men. It was a couple days before the filming. And he said, all right, look through these. Tell me if any of these fit your vision. Looked through all of them. And I was like, God, they're all so ugly. I was like, I'm not attracted to any of them. It didn't really matter if I was attracted to them, but I wanted someone who was going to match this vision in my head. And none of them did. So I was like, yeah, I don't really like any of these guys. Is there anybody else? So he went back, snagged a couple more, also hated all of them. And he was like, you just got to pick somebody because, you know, we're like a day or two out. You have to pick someone. So I just picked this one guy. Actually, I don't even know if I picked him. I might have just told the director to pick someone. I actually really don't remember. This was so long ago. Anyway, someone picked this guy. I don't know his name. I'll be honest. I could not tell you what his name was. This was so long ago. No clue what his name was. He was nice, but like we really didn't talk. He intimidated me because when I got there, my best friend Sydney was with me because she was doing my hair and makeup. When I got there, he was doing push-ups on the floor. And we were just laughing and he was so tall. And I was like, oh my God, this is so humiliating. I think it impacted my performance in the video. I think I could have been stronger, but I was so nervous around this guy. He was really intimidating. He was like over six. He had to be like 6'2", 6'3". I'm 5'5" and tiny. I was scared as shit. He really committed to this character. Like if you watch the video, he really committed to the treatment. And I was just like meek and just skinny and scared. It definitely impacted. My God, my phone just fell on the floor. I'm so sorry. It hit a guitar. But Oh God, I was so scared. I do think it came out good though. My favorite part of the video is really the last shot where I'm walking away. I trap him in there and he's screaming and I walk away. I feel like I really like came into myself at the end. The performance scene we did, I think 43 times, pretty sure was the number. Could be a little off, but it was definitely 40, early 40s. I was drenched in sweat. I was wet. I was sticky. My makeup was running down my face. And I felt like that was the section of the video, the performance scenes, where I just felt super free. I was wearing an outfit that I loved. Joyce Leslie, by the way, 100% Joyce Leslie. I still have that silver bodysuit. I actually purchased a couple of those, two or three, because I knew we were going to do paint in the video and I knew one was going to get ruined. So I was like, let me just ruin the one and then I'll have one or two more to keep as like a memento. I ended up wearing the bodysuit in the cover art for Dominance. So that one I do still have. It's in a box with like other clothes I've worn for stuff that's memorable. But video ended up, doing really, really well. I did Access Premiere AXS. That was very cool. Worked with a publicist for the first time for both singles. And that's how the premiere came to be. A lot of firsts with this song. I think that's why it sits in such a memorable part of my head. Because even though it was not streamed 100,000 times, like it literally, I'm going to look on Spotify now. It only had like 15,000 streams. I'm pretty sure. I'll give you the exact number. Let's see. Like 15,000 streams. It didn't do anything significant in terms of streaming or sales, but it led to the next session where I recorded the rest of Prevail, which would be my next EP. And then that led to Vista, the creation of Vista. Then that led to Dominance 2.0. Like it all was a chain reaction from here. And that is why so important. At the end of the day, like both Wild Girl and Dominance finally grasped Hope Vista as a whole. And it gave me ideas, gave me branding and colors and inspiration and more songs. So much stemmed from these. Like two different processes, two different styles, two different things. But I kind of had like synesthesia with these songs, and that's basically where like you see colors when you listen to music. I don't have synesthesia, but with these two songs in particular, I felt like I was experiencing it because I kept seeing the color blue. Like I listened to both of them and I saw blue. So that's where the blue lipstick came from. Blue lipstick started with Wild Girl and those promo shots. And it was Lip Tar from Obsessive Compulsive Cosmetics. They were sold at Sephora at the time. The brand does not exist anymore. And I went in. It's like, do you guys have like blue lipstick? I know that's a weird question. And they were like, yes, like hold on. And they came with this little sample container of this Lip Tar from Obsessive Compulsive Cosmetics. And it was like, perfect, great. How the hell do I apply this? Because it was just like a container of like paint. I ended up applying it with like a Q-tip, I think, because it did not come off. If I put it on my skin, it did not come off. It did not come off my lips, didn't move. It was literally Lip Tar. But like with these songs, I saw blue. I saw this specific branding and I went with it. I ran with it and blue became the theme of Vista. Like it just, you know, everything led to the next. And like I said, this wasn't on playlists. This wasn't getting 100,000 streams. This was not, you know, anything really truly significant in terms of like numbers. But it really led to the birth of Hope Vista as a brand and as an overall thing that I could really cling on to and work with and continue to develop. That's why it is so significant to me. And I also just love the song. Like, I also just really love the song. I think it's a good song. I think writing it was a process. Oh, I didn't even say like how long it took me to write the song. It took me like 6 months to write this. Not 6 months straight, but like I started writing it in 2014. And then I did the first verse and I wrote it down. It was actually originally half step higher in the key, but then I couldn't like get anything else out. I didn't know where to go from the first verse. So it started with blood boiling through me, da, da, da. And then I just stopped. I said, I don't really know where else to go from here. So I'm going to hold for now. When I was younger, you know, in high school writing music, what I tried to do was push through the block, like the writer's block, and just write. Even if I felt like I couldn't get anything out, I just put something out, even if it was the worst thing ever. And just tried to finish it instead of maybe saying, okay, let me come back to this. And that's what I did with Dominance for the first time ever. That was the first time I ever did that. I said, I'm stuck, but I really feel like I'm onto something here. Let me just pause and I'll come back to this when I feel like I've got it. Took a couple months. Let it be for months, like 4 or 5 months. And then I met Ocon. And suddenly I felt the inspiration to finish the song. And I think it's because, like, yes, like I said, it is an intimate song, but it's not about sex. It's about, like I said, empowerment with your choices, like empowerment in everything that you're doing in life, empowerment with someone you like, empowerment you know, with your body, whatever it is, just empowerment as a whole. When I met Okan, I really felt that empowerment come to life a little bit more. Like as I was, you know, about to leave college and things were really changing in my life and I met him and everything changed. So he did inspire the rest of that song because I felt empowered with him. It was really interesting to see that whole process come to fruition because I never thought I was going to finish that damn song. I was like, I don't know what the hell this chorus is. What the hell is it? I don't know. Also toyed with structure a lot with that song, different structures that I'd never done before. It was all in all, best way I can explain it, is that it was life-changing. And I know that sounds so corny, like it's a song that really did nothing. It didn't make a huge impact in the industry anywhere, but it was a ton of firsts and it was a ton of just different experiences that I never thought were possible for me. Never thought I would be doing a music video. I never thought that I would have a music video premiere. I never thought these things would happen. And they did with Dominance. And it was a song that I wrote by myself. And that kind of holds more significance than ever because the song was about empowerment. And you know, I was empowered to write the song by myself and finish it and really make sure that it saw the light of day and that I wrapped it up the way I wanted it to. So yeah, I really could talk about this song for a lot longer because of how important it is to me. But I think this is a good place to stop. I think the song just, I wouldn't be where I am without the song. It's like really hard to try and put that into words. That's why I keep pausing because I'm trying to explain it in a way that makes sense and also highlights the significance. But like I said, the best thing I can say is that it was life-changing. And there goes my dog with her dumbbell. I swear, whenever I try to do podcasts, my dogs like come barreling in with toys. And it's like, play with me, pay attention to me, get off your computer. But all right, I'm gonna go play with my dogs. I also am like so congested. I have to blow my nose. You could probably hear it. But thank you guys for listening. And I will tell you what's up next. I have it written down. What's up next is 25-8 and Back Against the Wall. I'm going to do those two together in one episode. Two songs that were on my EP, Prevail. We're going in like total order. So those are the first two songs, track one, track two, in retrospect. I love those songs. So I really can't wait to talk about them because there's so much to talk about. And then the next one will be I Prevail and Half Past Fine. And then we'll go to Vista. And also, my new single, Holy Water, comes out April 26th. I'm recording this on Friday, April 19th. So a week from today, recording it. I'm really excited for you guys to hear it. Thank you guys for listening. Go listen to Dominance if you've never listened to it before. The video is still available on YouTube, on my YouTube channel to watch. And thank you guys for being here. Have a good night, y'all. Bye.